The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 17th chapter. Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John up a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became a dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud, a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up, do not be afraid." When the disciples looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. You know, I remember in doing things just a little bit differently. Sorry, you know, children's sermon will be right before our last song. So just a brief interruption there in our normal. I remember in seminary hearing that Lent is kind of bookend by these two mountain passages. With this one first mountain on Transfiguration Sunday, we have the Jesus exactly how we want Jesus. Glowing in glory, right? Ready. I mean, you could probably just tell that the disciples, at least Peter, James, and John, were just, this is what we were waiting for. And then on the other end of Lent, we have Jesus on the hill of the skull, giving us the Jesus that we need, not necessarily the one that we want. But today, instead of focusing on Lent, we'll get into that eventually. I want to go back a little ways. The Sermon on the Mount was also on a hill, whether it was geographical or theological one. And it's important that we look back and remember what Jesus brought, how Jesus was brought to this place and how the disciples came to this place. And it's important for us to look back on what brought us to this place that we find ourselves, whether that's church or just place in our lives. We meet in this building for a reason. We believe in the Messiah, or Jesus as the Messiah, for a reason. We make life decisions based on our faith for a reason. And it's all because of how we were shaped by our family and our friends and our context and how we interpret the Scripture and our faith. Our gospel this morning comes, before our gospel this morning comes, this Jesus who foretells about his death and resurrection. And remember when he actually says that this is what's going to happen, Peter starts to rebuke him and say, "No, it can't be." But then Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block for me. You're setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Jesus wants everybody to know, for those who want to save their life, they must lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Yet we must look back to truly understand who we are. We cannot forget the past, for it's the foundation that we live into our future. Yet Jesus must not wish for us to live in the past. or maybe even the present, but rather to look into our future. How many of you remember your first love? Show of hands, you remember your first love? For me, it was Jennifer Woods. Missy's not here, I can tell you all this. We had the wedding planned. My friend Tori Bahan was going to marry us. Jennifer's friend was going to make the cake. We planned an outdoor wedding. Finally, the day came. We were there under this majestic oak tree, and the sun was just beautiful, and it shined on Jennifer's eyes just right. And I remember hearing those words, "You may kiss the bride," and all of a sudden, the recess bell rang. And the first grade teacher came out and called us in back for school. Actually, we got married several times that year. And though that marriage wasn't real, it was for me at that time. And my minute understanding of what love was for that 7 or 6 year old, I'm thankful has grown. And relatively, I think that sometimes we live in those moments way too often. Jesus wanted the disciples to witness this transfiguration so that they would have the faith, so they can live into that faith in the future because of what was happening on that other hill. And we have the luxury of knowing what happens, including the crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. But the disciples didn't have that luxury. But Jesus did not want them to fall in love with that moment. The moment of the glowing, glorious Jesus. He wanted them to know about the transfiguration and who Jesus was, that's for sure. But Jesus didn't want them to think that this moment of transfiguration was the full reality of why the Son of God came back. He wanted them to know how the Son of God was going to show all of creation the wondrous love that God sheds on all of us. We can't blame poor Peter for wanting to capture that moment, right? Oh, it is good for us to be here. Let's make 3 dwelling places. We can do this, we can do this, we can do this. Keep it right here, right now, so we can remember it. He truly just wanted to give God the praise, right? As we come into this building each and every Sunday morning and sometimes others. And we can't be too hard for Peter to want to mark that date because we mark all the important days in our lives, do we not? Birthdays, anniversaries, graduations. But we don't live in them. And we mark the places we have encountered God. Yet we probably don't live into those as well. Yet hopefully we allow them to propel us into a future of creation and of telling others how God's love affects us. Jesus is asking the disciples to let this experience be part of the story and not the whole story. He tells them that this moment will and should propel them into the future to ring clear and true. God gave his only Son for all the world, not for a select few, but for all creation. He didn't come to condemn, but to save the world. This marked moment of falling for Jesus will be marked at the other hill at the end of Lent. Remember that God, after God tells the disciples to listen to Jesus, it is Jesus who comes to them, touches them where they are, and says, "Get up, do not be afraid." Our church can learn a whole lot about that. Not just our church, but the church can learn a whole lot in those 7 words. Get up and do not be afraid. Get up is an action. It implies that we move, that we do something, that we go to another level, that we go to another place. And do not be afraid. That's not me saying this on this fine Sunday morning. That is the Son of God, the Beloved, whom God is well pleased, saying, do not be afraid. Listen to him. If we understand that we can mark the important times in our life and yet we don't have to live there, you know how freeing that truly is? That we don't have to be afraid. And if you know that you don't have to be afraid, what would you be willing to do? Fear so often dictates what we are able to do. If we truly live into this faith, if we believe in the transfiguration and the glory of Jesus that was shown on that hill, what do we have to be afraid of? We are given exactly the same love no matter where we're at. It's the fear that society places in us about what's good and what's bad that truly stops us from truly living into what God has called us to do. So what is God calling you to notice? Where is God calling our Savior Lutheran Church? When you are fearful and or challenged, remember, falling for Jesus is exactly what we're meant to do. And remember that God says these three things. This is my Son. Listen to him. Get up. Do not be afraid. Why? Because this is God's Son, the hope of the world, who is coming to you and touching you and giving you life. And you are the ones that are going to carry that love into this broken world who so desperately needs it. Amen.